Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked with Mark Fielding.
Hello, welcome to series 4, episode 20 of Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked. As you know, I'm Mark Fielding, psychotherapist and relationship counsellor and your host. Today, I have the absolute pleasure to interview Tara. I can't pronounce your surname, Tara.
Ellis.
Tara Ellis. Right. Tara Ellis, actor, storyteller, teacher at Speak You, shamanic practitioner, healer and magic maker. So you do a lot, Tara. We haven't got that much time, so I'm going to try and touch on some of the areas. But what I always start with, the question I always start with, I guess, is what personal experiences led you into the field of shamanic practice? And obviously say as much or as little as you're happy with.
So I think anyone who ends up developing these skills, there's a reason for it. I never intended to be a healer. I never intended to be a teacher. In fact, when I did my mastery, a couple of years ago, the first question my teacher, my maestra asked us is, why are you here? And my answer was, I don't know. You know, I had no intention of teaching whatsoever. I just wanted to broaden and deepen my own knowledge of the teachings. So I think having struggled a lot in my earlier life with mental health problems, with depression and anxiety, I was always searching for some way out. I was a Reiki master at 28. So that was, you know, a way. And being an actor, you're looking at human psyche all the time. So acting to me is a form of therapy. You know, you're delving into the human consciousness, you're creating a character. So as a result, you're looking at your own thinking and what it is that makes you act in the way you do. So I think, you know, me becoming a shamanic practitioner was just a natural progression of trying to sort my own stuff out.
Yeah, and I think that journey will be familiar to kind of anyone in the field. I mean, also that, you know, related field, psychology, you know, there's often a bit of kind of, you know, searching for answers for, you know, for yourself, really. So that is really interesting. So you became just to pick up on the Reiki, so you became a Reiki master at 28. Could you just say a little bit around what that is? Some of our listeners might not understand what Reiki is.
So Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's Japanese, and Reiki means literally life force energy. So you're a conduit, if you like, for, you know, the universal healing energy, which is in all things, which is everywhere, all at once. And it's, I think there's probably similarities in kind of spiritual healing. You know, it's a hands-off, but also hands-on approach. So I suspect they're quite similar. If anyone's had that, you know, that kind of energy work, that kind of hands-on healing.
So, my understanding of Reiki is not great, but you're channeling energy from the universe and channeling it in.
From the universe, from, you know, the earth, from different, you know, you use angelic realms in Reiki, and it's similar to shamanic practice. You know, you're using spiritual elements and essences, you know, like you're connecting to the spirit of the elements, perhaps. You know, you might be pulling in the element of water if you think somebody is feeling stuck and there's a little flow, you can draw on the energy of water. So it's, I think, pretty much a lot of these modalities are coming from the same place.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And looking at your journey, you know, just to go back to what you're saying about the acting, the acting is, you know, therapeutic. And I guess in terms of, you know, really understanding people and therefore really understanding yourself, I mean, I guess playing people in different characters and understanding their psyches, I guess the, you know, the knock-on effect of that is really giving you an understanding of yourself. So really, you know, so from acting to Reiki, I know you still act, and we'll pick that up a little bit later. So I guess the move into shamanic practice, it was all fairly kind of organic, really. You're just adding and adding and adding, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think the thing with the Andean shamanic teachings is a friend of mine gave me a healing. We would, you know, we'd swap healings. So I'd give her Reiki and she gave me a healing, and I was pretty much blown away on the first healing.
Yeah.
And then she did a thing for me called a despacho. She did a black despacho, which is despacho work is really beautiful. It's like a living, organic, tangible prayer. You make a mandala, if you like, or a mandala, and it's an offering of gratitude. But a black despacho is a little bit different. It's more in depth, and there's a lot of questioning, and it's about things that you want to release. And I found it so powerful and magical and right up my street, really. It was very visual. It's very visual shamanic work. And I think that's what really hooked me. So it was definitely an organic progression, but it really stood out to me. It was really, really vibrant and alive.
And and I really believe that I think we find the things that really we need, often, there's, strong elements of synchronicity, I think, probably to all of this. I mean, for listeners that don't really understand what shamanic practice is, and I know this is a massive question for you to answer, but I mean, can you just give our listeners an idea around what it is, what you would do if somebody came to you?
Okay, so a key word for me in Andean shamanism is Eni, and Eni means sacred reciprocity. And I think there's a similar thing in the Australian Aboriginal language. I could be wrong, but I think it's Kanyini and Ubuntu in South Africa, and it relates to the interconnectedness of all beings and all things and all spirit and all matter, and that when we are in flow with that, when we are giving and receiving in equal measures, then we're in balance, then we're in harmony in our lives. So if somebody was to come to me for a shamanic healing, I use, so this is my mason. I know your listeners can't see this, but somebody might be able to
Yeah,
see it.
some can on the YouTube watches will be able to see that.
So this is a medicine bundle, and within the mesa is the four directions. So the four directions are within everything, and within ourselves. So each direction is representative of a certain aspect of life, and each direction contains stones or kuyas, we call them. And the stones hold stories. So what we do, if somebody comes to me, we work with a stone. They would pick their stone. I also do this online in a different variation, but they pick their stone, and that stone denotes what kind of healing they get. So it may be a soul retrieval, it may be a illumination, it may be a past life, it could be a contract stone. It could be many different things.
So even that is synchronous, really.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you only ever pick the stone that you need at that time.
Fascinating. And just say a little bit around the different elements. I mean, I'm particularly interested in the past life bit, but I mean, could you just say a little? I mean, I know, I'm asking you about a tradition that is thousands of years old, but just as much as you can. So what are
So
the different healings in terms of the different stones?
what I think is really interesting is the correlation between this ancient practice and modern day, psychotherapy and practices that are around now. So if you take a soul retrieval, for instance, the Kero, who are the native people of the Andes, the Pacos, the high priests, believe that you can have a part of your soul split away from the rest of your soul. So is this disassociation or
That's exactly what I was thinking. It is, yeah, dissociation, yeah.
So you could, through whatever reason, it could be through trauma, it could be through a gradual process of that little part of you is being pushed away and cut off from yourself. And a soul retrieval, what a soul retrieval does, a soul retrieval looks for the point where the wound happened, where the soul was split, and it brings the soul back. So that's soul retrieval.
That's fascinating.
And it's really interesting because with soul retrieval, I journey for the client. And I've had so many quite seriously profound results with soul retrievals. With, I will give the person all the information. I will say to them, right, now it's down to you to go away and just contemplate this information as if you were contemplating a dream, look things up, you know, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of that? And I've had lots of experience where people have come back and then said, oh my God, I didn't realize, but this happened and this relates to that and that relates to that.
Yeah.
So really fascinating for me, really fascinating.
Yeah, so they go on a journey. So you'll go on the journey together?
Well, I would lay them down, or if they were online, they would lay down and I would go on the journey for them. They just relax. You know, I might treat them with feathers and rattles and things like that, but they don't do anything. Whereas in a past life healing, I would take the person on a journey and they would journey themselves for their past life.
Okay.
Sometimes people find this difficult because journeying and visualization is a skill, it's a practice. And if that happens, I will journey for them. But I've had amazing, fascinating results with people doing their own journeys and discovering lives, past lives, that have had heavy influence in the life they're in now. Now, you know, some people say past lives aren't real, and, you know, maybe they're not. But there's a part of the brain that is making that story to mirror something in that person's life. You know, the subconscious is giving you this story to say, this is, you know, look at it in another way. This is an analogy for what you're experiencing now.
Yeah. And I really hear that. And I guess whether it is, I guess, you know, we all have different belief systems. I mean, whether it is from an actual past life, and I have to say there is quite a lot of evidence that, you know, supporting past lives, which we don't have to talk about now, or if it is a construction from their unconscious, I guess the potential for healing is the same. That it reminds me of there's a Jungian technique called active imagination, where if somebody has a dream and you bring them into a state of relaxation and you get them to go back into the dream, and then the dream will just continue.
Right.
You know, it's kind of similar. Yeah. It's different, but it's kind of similar to that. And I guess, goodness me, you must have moments. I mean, somebody, when you're working with people, you must have magical moments of profound understanding. And I mean, it must be really powerful at times, I'd imagine.
It is. And it is like magic. You know, it is deeply profound. And, you know, people having experiences where there's a huge release of, you know, stuff that they have been holding, which they can then let go. And Sandra Ingerman, who is a very famous shamanic practitioner, says shamanism is the path of direct revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can completely attest to this, because for me, doing my training, I have had experiences where I have carried things for so many years, and I've done loads of work on myself on those particular issues. You know, I have worked with counselors, I've done lots of work myself, but I'm still carrying that issue. And then in my first step on the medicine wheel, I saw things literally a 360 angle. It was just a reverse, seeing things from a completely different perspective and really experiencing that turned it around for me.
Yeah. So a kind of moment of revelation, really.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And then that moment of revelation just creating enormous change inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And also what I really, really love about shamanic healing, shamanic work, is with Reiki. I'd give someone Reiki. Reiki is beautiful, you know, and I've had really profound moments with Reiki. And that person will go off and they would have had a really lovely experience. And, you know, hopefully they'll have, you know, some ease and some reflection, and they'll take it with them for a while. But with shamanic healing, there's always a homework. There's always a homework. The homework will be something gorgeous. You know, it's not like you've got to write a huge thesis or something like that. You know, I had a doctor with me the other day, and her homework was to create an altar. And, you know, it's beautiful. So that's what I like, that you go away and then you're working yourself to integrate the healing and the teaching.
Yeah. I mean, so it's kind of an ongoing journey, I guess, in a lot of ways, you know. And just to go back to the history. And so this kind of teaching comes from the Andean people.
Yeah.
This is a teaching that has been passed down by word of mouth, presumably for literally thousands of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in Peru in April, and I was initiated by the high priest there into other mesas. So this is my earth mesa, my Pachamama mesa, which is the healing mesa. And then I was initiated into the rainbow crystal mesa and the mesa of the Nustas. And the Nustas are the goddesses. So it's that divine feminine energy, which we're seeing more coming in now because it's needed.
Yeah, goodness, it really is. Yeah. And say a bit more about that, sorry, if you would, the divine feminine energy coming in now, just for our listeners that may not kind of really connect with what you mean.
Yeah. So if we go back, the Kero people had a prophecy. They have loads of prophecies. And their prophecy said, when the white man comes with spears that shoot fire, you must save the teachings, keep the teachings, and run away. So when the conquistadors came with their guns, a lot of the Kero fled to the highest points of the mountains. So they couldn't find them because it was too high, and the altitude, they couldn't get up there.
Yeah.
So they stayed up there, you know, basically keeping the teachings alive, doing their work. And then they had another prophecy. This was called the Pachacuti, the Great Turning. So it meant when the world turns the wrong way up. So they were, you know, it was quite an egalitarian society. You know, the masculine and the feminine are very much in balance and in harmony in the Andean tradition.
Yeah.
And so they went to the mountain, and then there was another prophecy that said, when the mountain begins to melt and the sun makes people sick, you need to come back down and give the teachings out and give the teachings to the grandchildren of the white man. So they did. They came down in sort of like the 60s. People were like, who are these people?
Yeah.
And it's progressed since then. So we're apparently now in another Pachacuti, when the world turns the right way up. So I think that's why we're seeing at the moment a lot of patriarchal issues crumbling. You know, it's like the sort of veil is being lifted with the whole, you know, you think about Me Too, Black Lives Matter, you know, there's, and even in England now, the stuff that is coming out with all of the, you know, like with the Met, with the, you know, with even the fire service, even in the surgical profession, this really strong misogyny, it's being revealed.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true.
You know, and so we need now, because this system is collapsing, you know, it worked for a certain amount of time, but it worked to the detriment of a lot of peoples on the earth.
It's so true.
And the earth, especially, you know, what we do to ourselves, we do to the earth. And you think the repression of women and children and people of color and, you know, people who, you know, you think about neurodiversity as well, you know, and how that now is coming to the forefront, where, you know, and I myself identify as a neurodiverse person. So all these things have been squashed down and repressed, except for the dominant male energies. And not saying male energies are bad and wrong, they're great and we need them, but everything has to be united and in harmony. You can't have one thing above the other, because then you see what we're seeing now.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, you look at the kind of state of the world now and you think something has got to change. There needs to be more balance. I mean, it has been so unbalanced, and all of the old systems breaking down. I mean, I'll just bring in another one. You know, I guess, you know, there's more kind of acceptance of, you know, although there's still a long way to go in terms of sexual identity, gender identity, you know, these rigid structures are breaking down. Although I have to say the old guard are clinging on for dear life, aren't they, at the moment? But I mean, and is it a positive? Because I look at what's happening with the earth, and, you know, I look at that Andean prophecy about, you know, when the ice melts, and that is clearly about climate change. Is there a prophecy about what happens when the divine female energy comes in and there is more balance? I mean, what happens then? Do they prophesize or not?
Well, the thing is, they've got hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, and I don't know what they are. But well, interestingly, my teacher, when we went out to receive the Rainbow Crystal Mesa teachings, which is to elevate you to a higher level of vibration,
higher state of consciousness.
Yeah, it's related to the Southern Cross and you know Venus and my teacher went. She planned to go to the mountains because she hadn't been there for 13 years. Actually, seen them in person in the mountains, and so she said, "I'm coming back." And they said, "We want to see your seeds." So she was like, "Okay, I've got to bring students." So she kind of put it out there, and then when she was looking through her notes, because they allow us to make notes, they never used to allow people to make notes, but they do now.
Yeah.
She was looking through her notes from like you know years and years ago. I think when she was with them in Amsterdam or something. And there was a prophecy that said there will be a great sickness that sweeps the earth. And when that happens, the great sickness will happen and there will be fights for water. That's when you need to release the teachings of the Rainbow Crystal Mesa.
Yeah. Wow.
So she kind of went all her hairs on her body stood on end and was like, oh wow, you know, that's kind of now. So as to what will happen, I don't know that I don't know what their prophecies are, but they have a very, you know, they have this sort of saying, it is until it isn't, or it isn't until it is. You can until you can't, or you can't until you can.
Yeah.
You know, so it is this going back again to this idea of fluidity and like, you know, you were saying about sexuality and gender and, you know, that's a spectrum, the same as, autism or anything else.
Yeah.
And so in the past, any fluidity has been sort of denied and quashed.
Yeah, true.
So it's the actively. Feminine is like bringing in that fluidity to allow that spectrum to be present, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it is so, you know, we could talk about this for hours, but it is so interesting because I look at the world and, there are all of these new kind of energies coming in, you know, the change that the world clearly needs, you know, and then there is, you know, the old energies and the patriarchy, you know, clinging on for dear life. Yeah. And at the moment that we're in a transition, I think, aren't we? I mean, that we clearly need the new energies. Yeah. I mean, goodness me, in so many different ways, but it is like a fight at the moment. I think.
And it feels almost like, absolutely ridiculous that the clinging on is almost like some sort of weird caricature.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what, you know?
Let me ask you, if someone wants to get in touch with you to receive some of the shamanic healing, how do they get in touch with you? What do they do?
Yeah, so at the moment, to contact me for this work, I'm on Instagram as Shamanic Tara. So you can contact me there and DM me, and I do healing work in person but also online. And when I first started doing online, it was it was during the pandemic, and it was whilst working with Anna Lompier on the Speak You program.
Yeah, when we've had Anna on, obviously.
We did an online version, and we've been doing it in corporate, and then we just went, let's do it for people like us. So that allowed us to bring more kind of spirituality, more of the shamanic element into it. And I was giving people shamanic healings coaching on that program. And I was really worried because I know, you know, theoretically, and you know, there's no time and space, and everything, especially in healings, it can transcend time and space, but never actually having really put that into practice, I was a little bit concerned. But it was amazing online.
Yeah,
really amazing. I was quite, had my mind blown quite a bit.
Agree.
So I'm in person or online, and I've just run a workshop, and I will probably be running another one in maybe November, which is the introduction to the medicine wheel. So it's a kind of 2-day workshop. There's a cacao ceremony. There's lots of journeying. There's basic, simple shamanic healings. learning to give and receive, and there's a fire ceremony and journeying for power animals. And it's a kind of taster to see if you are into this kind of work. And it's not for everyone, you know, and to see if you want to embark on the medicine wheel, which I'm going to start, I think, next year.
Yeah. And after the show, let's have all of your links, and we'll put all of your links. We have got various social media sites. With the workshop, is that in person? Or?
It's in person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're about to say a bit more about where it is.
So I'm in Thornton Heath, which is, it's London. It's Greater London. And that's where the workshop takes place. It's very intimate. You know, there's always just a few spaces.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful work. Really, you know, really lovely. And I taught a workshop a couple of weekends ago, and I took a really lovely photograph of everyone afterwards. And everyone is just really bright and wide-eyed and open and you know, receptive. And it's really, really gorgeous.
Yeah, and on your Instagram page, I mean, our listeners will see, you know, before the show, I was reading some of the feedback you had from some of the people that have had, you know, have experienced shamanic healing with you. There's some really beautiful feedback on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it really, the profoundness of the experience, I think, really comes over when you read the feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is something that where people can be profoundly changed, really. You know, the change can be immediate. I mean, I guess change is different for, you know, everyone depending on what they bring, but it does offer, I mean, it does offer something potentially really, really, you know, changing. It can change someone, it can help someone heal. So so I'd really urge our listeners to check out all of your links. We're running out of time, but I wanted to ask a little bit about your storytelling.
Yeah.
If that's okay, because this is something else you do, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really, you know, I'd love to put out there, because I work for the most incredible, beautiful charity called Henry Dancer Days. And it's in memory of a beautiful boy called Henry, who died of osteosarcoma. And his mum runs the charity. And it's wonderful. We go into... So she hires professional actors and storytellers. So we're not volunteers, we're paid.
Yeah.
And we go into hospitals. So I'm in at the Royal Marsden in Sutton at the moment. And we go in and we just read stories to kids. And it is one of the greatest privileges of my life. It's been remarkable. And, you know, what's really interesting, I mean, when I first started doing it, I told my mum, she was like, oh God. Oh, that's awful. Oh, how can you do that? Oh, and it's like, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever done in my life.
I totally get that.
You know, it's you're going in there and you are just giving a little bit of respite, a little bit of magic to something that is, you know, really traumatic and really hard for everyone. You know, even if you're giving 5 minutes for a parent to just go out and get a cup of tea or something, just have a bit of headspace that isn't in that room. Or you've got, you know, sometimes you'll go in and you've got the books and the kids might be scared because they think you're going to do something.
Yeah.
When they find out, oh, you're just reading a story, it's kind of like everything changes. And there's, you know, some of these kids, it's like kind of like the highlight for them.
Yeah.
Or you come around and you see these beaming faces, you start to get to know people. And it's really magical. It's really gorgeous. So if anybody, any listeners want to, you know, stick some money in, because they do also give grants to people.
Okay.
And, you know, and I think when you don't realize until you're there, I've experienced people, you know, and you're thinking families in hospital and you're thinking who's paying the bills, who's working, you know, everything changes.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone out there who wants to get in touch, Henry Dancer Days is the charity, and they do remarkable things. They've also got, I think, a pottery lady who goes in and does pottery. So it's just that little bit of space, a little bit of headspace, and a bit of something else. Kind of like, I know there's this, but there's also this.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I feel really touched just imagining it, really. It's so beautiful. And the power of story as well, to transport, you know, children that, you know, are suffering to somewhere else. I mean, goodness me, it must be so powerful, Tara, at times when you're there.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It is huge. And, you know, sometimes you'll be, you know, you'll have a nurse come along and they have to do a procedure that the kids don't like. And, you know, like the other week I was reading and they came along to this beautiful, beautiful little girl, like a tiny little dolly, just absolutely divine and, you know, way ahead of her years and wise and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she was really, really screaming. And so just like, just keep reading. I was like, right, let's keep on. Like, and her dad and her granddad were like, yeah, the whole box. So we just kept on until it was over. So yeah, it's really, you know, really beautiful.
Yeah, and what an honour, really, to be able to do that work.
100%.
Yeah, goodness me. I mean, the final question really is a question I ask all of our guests, Tara. What do you do to sustain good mental health? I mean, what do you do in your own life?
So for me, it's, you know, I've got practices. I think it's always about practice. Always, always, always.
Yeah.
And practice, you know, you've got to be dedicated. And I think I got to the point where I was so sick and tired of it. It was like sick and tired of being unwell. And it was like, I have got to do something. No one's going to come and save me. And I have got to put the work in. And at the moment, I mean, I meditate every morning. I do a whole nighttime thing before I go to bed. I've got an allotment. You know, I've got a cat.
But
at the moment, what is really, I think this has been almost life-changing for me, is I've been doing The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And it's so Elizabeth Gilbert equates Eat, Pray, Love to The Artist's Way.
Yeah, okay.
Without The Artist's Way, there would have been no Eat, Pray, Love. It's really brilliant. I urge everyone to do it. It's like you do the morning pages. So you write three pages of A4 every morning. You get guidance within the book and tasks. And then you go on an artist date once a week. And that's the hardest thing to do, because trying to carve out time for yourself, especially if you're a woman, is notoriously difficult,
so
you know,
true.
And you have a family. But yeah, so I think it's practice. I think find something, you know, keep trying until you find something, you know. And I have my shamanic practice. So when I'm giving a healing to someone, I'm getting that healing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, dare I say therapy is like that. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, I'm not working with clients, you know, for my own, you know, to sort myself out, you know. But I think as a therapist, you grow with every person you see. Every single 100%. Person I work with, I grow myself, you know. Yeah, yeah, I mean, 100%. So I really connect with what you're saying. I just want to thank you so much for coming on, Tara. There's so much more to talk about. Maybe we'll get you on in another series.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we can talk more. But just for the meantime, thank you so much for coming on. And it's been really nice to see you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed myself. Had a lovely day out.
And again, I'd like to thank Tara so much for coming on the show. I think our listeners will agree it was a really, really fascinating interview. Linking up with Tara's kind of journey of self-discovery and also journey of healing in many ways. Tara talked about experiences of depression and anxiety in her life, resonating with what Tara was saying about acting. And I guess the byproduct of an acting career is the need to be able to understand others in order to play a part, and therefore to understand our own psyches and motivations more. And then moving into Reiki, and so I describe some of the profound experiences of healing that she experienced from Reiki, and then moving into shamanic practice and the Andean teachings, which again is really interesting from a psycho-spiritual perspective. You know, perhaps there's some strong elements of synchronicity here, and I guess finding the areas that can help us heal, and these areas perhaps presenting to her so much depth to, you know, what is a thousand year old, longer probably, ancient tradition. But really interesting to hear, you know, Tara's practice. And as I said on the show, please check out the notes along with these podcasts and also our social media platforms if you'd like to get hold of Tara for any of the things that she does, for the workshops, for the one-to-one shamanic healing. And also picking up, I was so glad that we got the storytelling in at the end. It's a shame we didn't have more time to talk about that, but I think the profoundness and, you know, the depth of experience around, you know, storytelling and, you know, really providing that vehicle of fantasy for children that are going through incredibly difficult times, trying to heal from cancer at the Marsden. It just sounds really, really profound. And there's also something about that group dynamic, I think, which is very profound. And Tara said that, you know, it was an absolute pleasure to be a part of that. And also check out, she mentioned the charity, so also check out our social media sites for more information about that charity. But as I said previously, I think we might have a couple more podcasts before we end series 20. Series 20? Before we end the podcast, the next one will be episode 20 of season 4. We generally only do 20, but got a couple of guests lined up, which I think we'll cover before closing the season out. I think our listeners will agree that the variety of guests we've had on talking about so many different areas of healing and lived experience has been quite amazing, really. And as I said in the previous interview with Kelly, you know, I'm always so inspired by guests, so inspired by Tara's story. Again, I'm always left kind of wanting more, you know, wanting to ask more about, you know, Tara's acting career and other areas. But 40 minutes always goes so quickly. We should have the next one up probably a couple of weeks. Actually, it's probably going to come up in a couple of weeks' time. And as I say at the end of every podcast, we have a lot of listeners, an increasing number of listeners, but not everybody subscribes. So if you do, I enjoy the podcast, please subscribe. It helps us in so many different ways. The YouTube channel too, if you want to see the videos, please check out the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel at the moment is not getting as many hits, but I've only just started really putting some of the episodes up. So if you do like that, please comment, please like, and please subscribe. And just to thank Tara again for, you know, what is another really, really inspiring and fascinating interview. And as always, at the end of the show, take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Take care of the planet. And I'll see you on the next episode soon. Thanks again for listening to the show. If you have been affected by any of the topics on this show or any other of our shows, if you're in the UK, then please reach out. Samaritans can be contacted on 116 123. Now, the GP is also a good source of contact and can be the gateway for, you know, counselling services and other mental health support. Reach out to your mental health support team, mental health first aider, or trusted friend, colleague, or family member. We have a lot of international listeners. So if you're listening from a non-UK country, then please reach out to, you know, your country's healthcare and mental health care providers. And remember, it's okay not to be okay.
#psychotherapy